Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to today's show. We are on a Friday, and we are going to be doing an in-depth. We try to do these a little bit early in order to get everything ready for Shabbat or Sabbath. And a lot of things going on. I don't know if you know it, but Asiya Bibi is home, actually in another country with her children. We've been covering this story for a lot of years. And so Tower and I both rejoice over that. We do have a new article out over on our website that's talking about that over on danaglennsmith.com. It is an update of another article that we have had going on for a long time. We've been following a lot of this persecution. And so check it out. Going over to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And of course, sound the shofar from Warn Radio, out of the WIBR Warn Radio, the Watchman Institute for Biblical Research, and Warn, the Watchman Alert Radio Network, which is comprises a group of online companies that take our feed and move it around, send it out to their people. And so you can listen on Blog Talk Radio, where we originate this from now. And it also goes through Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Acast. It's on Google Play. Facebook, we used to put a lot of videos on there, but we did stop doing the in-depth videos. And we have over 1,300 high-def teaching videos over on Vimeo right now and on our website as well. And in the future, we may do maybe one show that's a video, but the main thing of what we do is audio, and so, you know, we're going to continue with that. So the verdict is still out, but for the most part, we've done years and years of audios, and the majority of people listen on the audio and not the video. But at any rate, we do have a number of followers over there and things like that already, and so we can look at that again. Be sure to follow us, and you can find us on Facebook. Just do Watchman IS 216. Instagram, it's Warn Radio. Twitter, you can find us a couple of different places. Just use the hashtag Warn Radio or Watchman IS 216. LinkedIn, again, is Watchman. And you can find a lot of links over on our Warn Radio site, warn-usa.com. Today is the 10th, and we're already moving down the road. It's hard to believe that time moves so fast. We do have a number of articles. These are the days of the end, like unto the time of Noah. This talks about the prophetic days of Noah series I did. It's, again, in time, prophetic, and in depth. Another thing that we have, these are featured over on danaglennsmith.com, from Faith to Freedom, and that of an unbelieving harlot. There is a difference, and that's between being faithful and not being faithful. Thomas Jefferson, I quoted this. I do like Thomas Jefferson. He says, "I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man." And one of the biggest tyrannies on earth, and that is sin. And sin has enclosed a lot of the minds of people today, especially in these last days. And the thing that, of course, Jefferson was talking about was the fact of what's happened around the world at his time and how America was supposed to set a new standard. Now, that standard is what America was based on, and it had a lot of Christianity in it. And it is to this point that he was talking about. And today, of course, we have a lot of the enemies, not only of Christianity, but of America itself and our way of life. And we have some of them voted into Congress, a bunch of numbskulls that think they know better. And you can't tell them anything. And they're dead set that America never was any good. Of course, they don't know what they're talking about. And I've heard them say that time and time again. Was America ever really great? One person said, and this happened to be a white boy and of some prominence, a young punky one. But he's not the only one. There's a lot of them that say stuff like this, and it's idiocy. No, I'm not here to advocate for America, but I can surely tell you that if something happens to America, the world will lose a people and a way of life that have never existed for any nation on the face of this earth like it has for those of us who have lived here. And only an idiot who, you know, it'd be likening to a guy that was on a ship sailing somewhere in the great ocean, the storm arise and the boat sank and he was able to get on a life raft. And so he ends up poking a hole in the life raft because he didn't like its color. And so today we have a lot of people wanting to poke the color, poke the boat and destroy it, simply because they've got personal grievances that are born and bred out of some of their own inbred conniption fits that they have. So at any rate, you know, we talked today about his presence, faith being kept amidst the world tribulation, you know, and you think about it. You think you're having a bad life now, but what would you do if you lost his presence? That is the presence of the Lord. Have you prayed today? Have you sought his face today? See, and that's, we all are guilty of this, of getting busy and not praying, not seeking him. If you're feeling a little down in the dumps, it's because you need the Lord. But the bottom line of it is, it's his presence that keeps us. Like Christ said, without me, you can do nothing, when he was talking about the vine and the branches in John 15. What would you do is just like has happened to many believers around the world, and that they lost everything? Well, I know we live in America, and most of us are in the West, and we haven't had that problem. And that's the problem we have in America today, that we are divided, we're comfortable, we're hedonistic, we don't think our sins are seen before God. And even when I preach or teach, we have people that are not interested in the Word of God. They're not interested in listening about anything. And you can't tell them anything. You can't change their mind on anything. Jeremiah faced this even worse than what we have it today. And so with that, you know, I am going to get ready for this, and as soon as we come back from this, we are going to start our study.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Okay, welcome back. Today, Christian living being kept, not forsaken, part one. Now, you know, part of the thing about being kept is that point there, not forsaken. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to be persecuted. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get weary, sick, or even die. But it does mean that you're kept, that you're found in him. Should you die, you would be dying in him. You know, I can't remember his name, but I seen a quote of his. Actually, it was an advertisement for a new social media that he was on. He's, you know, you've heard of the dudes that did all the ducks, and he's the duck commander. He has a long beard, probably as long as mine and as big as mine, real famous, but he's a Christian. And they ask him about having health care, you know, and he's definitely not a young man. And he says, what do I need health care for? He says, if I die, I'm going to be with the Lord in heaven. You know, and you know, this guy is not a mega church pastor. You know, he got famous because they did one of those shows where they're live, and they were hunters. They did a lot of duck hunting and things like that. They were down to earth. They eventually were taken off because some of the things that was said on it. And, of course, that's what we are. We're politically correct unless, of course, you're a liberal and you say what a lot of the liberals like, so nobody does anything. And that's the truth. And that's something that we need to understand. We start out in Psalms 33, verse 16 through 22. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in the famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear. Now that word fear means morally reverent or morally reverence. You reverence the Lord. Because he is the Lord, you serve him and you walk in a way that is pleasing in his sight. Morally reverent. Truthful, above board. You're seeking him with your heart. Upon them that hope, that word means patient hope. Now, if you get into tribulation talk at all, if you begin to discuss Revelation, you're going to find the terms the faith and patience of the saints. And there is a patience that we as the believers of Christ have been set upon to walk in, a patience. Now, I can tell you, in case you haven't figured this out, patience can really be a pain. Patience. And the Lord knows for us that we have problems with patience. But guess what? He's patient. Now, think of this. One day with him is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Well, you and me, I mean, 24 hours, that's it. You know, and we need like 8 hours of sleep. Most of the time, I never even get close to that, sometimes half that. If I get 7 hours of sleep, I'm like I'm in heaven. See, we're a poor creature that has fallen. Yet we shake our fists at God and we kill one another and murder one another and rape one another and hate one another. And we're divided over politics of all the stupid things in the world today. And we have stupid social media that is aligned against everybody. I mean, we are divisive. We're hatred. And plus that, we do so many other things. So if there was ever a nation on earth that, you know, you hate and you want to see it fall, you know, hey, just sit there and keep doing what you're doing and don't hope in God. It's going to fall. But if you love America, you need to put down the conniption fits and you need to ask God to heal it, which the only way he would heal Nineveh of the judgment that was coming is if they all repented. See, there's a problem there. Repenting. Oh, God, we don't want to do it. But the eye of the Lord is not on those that are stubborn and don't want to repent. It's on those that fear him. They're morally reverent. They look to him. He's God. We know who he is. We serve him. We serve him not because we... You see, this is the difference in the fear that the unbelievers think of and even the haters of the Christian religion propagate. And that is the fear of the Lord in its truth and its nature leads men to repentance and a relationship with Christ and then unto God our Father. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. They're morally reverent to him. They follow him. And if you were moral and a moral creature, which we're not, you can only be moral through Christ and righteous. There is a difference between morality and righteousness. See, there's a lot of men that think they do good. There's a way into man that seems right, but in the end, it's going to lead to death. There's only one way, through Christ. He can make you, even a moral man who thinks he's moral, if he repents, he can be righteous and then truly moral in the eyes of God. And upon them that hope with patience, hope, this word is patient hope, in his mercy, his loving kindness. That's how come we got Christ. It's because of God's mercy. God's mercy came out of his love. His love is part of his nature. He made us. We fell. He knew we were going to fall. And the provision was made to bring us back to him from the beginning. And you see, out of that mercy, God gave us his grace, and he gave us the foundationary tool to use. And that was belief upon him, and God used the law, which he's lawful, that once we believed upon him and believed in what he said with all of our heart, he was imputed unto us for righteousness' sake. That's exactly what happened to Abraham. It was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake because he believed God. Actually, Abraham was one of the first fathers in the faith. Abraham, yes, that is why he got the blessings. He believed God. Okay, so they are, you know, understanding in this psalm that the eye of the Lord, which searches to and fro across the earth to look for those who are righteous, so he may show himself strong on their account. That's what the Lord does. He hasn't changed. We have an Old Testament and a New Testament, but it's the nature of God. It's who God is. God from the beginning wanted to redeem man. Only man from the beginning, many of them wouldn't be redeemed, and even today they won't be redeemed because they hate him. They love darkness more than they would love the light. That's what the Lord said in the context of John 3:16. People jump on John 3:16, but the fact of the matter is many of them don't read past John 3:16 to find what the verse says. You need to get into the context of Scripture and understand what God is telling you for whosoever. That's what that is, whosoever. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, that's all they remember at the most. But there's more of it. See, God wants to save the world, but the world doesn't want to be saved because they love darkness more. That's what those verses say. Now, see, these verses tell us that those who are morally reverent, and today, through Christ, we are bound up in him, we look to him with patient hope because of his mercy he has given us through Christ. He says further, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in the famine. Have we had famines? Yes, we have on this earth. Matter of fact, I remember years ago when we were in Warren Radio, you know, in the beginning, there were Christians in Ethiopia who were starving right alongside all the pagans there. And America did send some food to help them out, but it was GMO corn, you know, and grains and stuff. That was when everybody thought the GMO was okay. Guess what? They wouldn't let them have it. They're starving to death. Well, you know, we know you're starving to death, but we're not going to give you these GMO grains because they could kill you. Well, how about this? Give us enough to stay alive and then tell America they can send some other stuff, okay? But at least keep us alive long enough to make a decision here. See, but they, well, at any rate. The picture I saw was of a Christian village, and in it there was this African woman. And she was there with a sick look on her face, nigh unto death. She had the baby there in her lap who was dying. They had gotten into the village to bring food and help. They were so weak they couldn't move. They were so weak they couldn't eat. The baby had blank eyes staring up, his mouth open. Flies were crawling in and out and all over as the flies were crawling all over the mother. And so the first question of it is, if there's a God, why does this happen? The second question is, if you're a Christian and this happens to you, why does it happen? Well, the Lord said a long time ago that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know. They were never taught. And the other thing, I remember my pastor telling me many years ago when I was telling him we needed to stock food for what is coming. He said, why do you want to stock food? He says, your neighbors will find out if it's as bad as you say, and they're going to come over and steal your food. You won't have any anyway. And I said, but if we don't store it and don't have food, we're going to starve and die. That was many years ago in my youth. And Brother Kennedy, who's the pastor, affectionately, love him to death. You know, he looked at me and smiled with a twinkle. And he said, you know, he says, appointed unto man once to die, and after this a judgment. And he kind of chuckled. You know, get the hint, kid? You know, I mean, you're going to be with the Lord. You know, and that is the bottom line here. But see, most people, you know, death isn't fun. Death is not fun. We don't approach death very well. I know of another situation. I was in this death room waiting for someone to die, and we were there with others, and we were more waiting to send him off rather than waiting for him to die. But some in the room didn't handle it well. Not well at all. And what they did was despicable. Nevertheless, that's the way we are today in this world. But see, the following verses of that says that our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Now, sometimes if I really wonder if anybody really believes that. You know, do we really believe he's our help and our shield? Do we really wait on the Lord? It says, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Now that's what it's about. Now I talked about a Sia Bibi. This is a young mother that was faced with the situation, faced the death penalty. The ACLJ, along with many others, we covered it from the beginning. We thought, you know, there was definitely, she was going to die. We'd seen this time and time again. But we prayed that God would spare her. Well, 10 years later, she's free. But she went through 10 years of hell. Her family went through 10 years of hell. And even when the Pakistani courts decided to let her free, you know, the Muslims there rioted and hated her, wanted her dead. This is because of ignorance on their part. They absolutely do not understand. And they won't. Not unless the Lord touches them. Not unless they truly hear the gospel. You know, this morning, the Lord laid on my heart some thoughts as I was looking to him. And he said, have you heard the gospel? When you ask people that, have you heard the gospel? There are a lot of them. Oh, yeah, we've heard the gospel. We've heard of Jesus. We've heard of this. We heard of that. Well, see, in the time of the Lord, and the Lord brought this to mind as I was thinking about this, and he said, you know, through this, even in the time of Christ, they were gathered around him. They saw the miracles. They heard his words. But yet the Lord said, and even the disciples asked him, why do you speak in parables? See, the disciples understood it. But they didn't understand because the rest of the people didn't understand. And he says, to them, it's not given to hear, but to you, it's given to hear. He made a big thing out of he that has ears to hear, let him hear. There's a lot of people that have ears, but it's not to hear. It's only to find what your answer is so they can talk back to you and attack you. And in many other religions around the world, many of them are fearful of Christianity because of the power associated with it. We report all the time of other people of other faiths coming to the Lord by truly miraculous ways. So how did they come? The Lord touched them. They in some cases, they literally saw him. But you see, this is really what it is. You know, even in America, they've heard the gospel. They have been around churches all the time. But they don't hear anymore. They hear, but they don't hear. You know, and we've all done this. You get in a long conversation, and after a while, it all becomes just like, okay. And then when you're done, you think, well, what did I just hear? And this applies to the way we are. If you truly want to hear, you make a note of it. You pay attention. And in the case of the gospel, it takes the power of God for you to truly hear. Now, see, the Lord is speaking here in these verses, but have you heard him? The eye of the Lord is upon those that fear him, morally reverent, those that do what he says. And today it's, as Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We have to follow what he says. We have to look to him. But see, the other thing we need to realize is, he says in here, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Now, we are living in a tough time now. To keep them alive, that's a promise to life. God save life. Now, see, it's kind of interesting in this verse because in the Old Testament, when this was written to them, God's blessing meant for you to live. That is to have a long life. And when you would die, you would go into a place of Abraham's bosom where all the righteous were kept until the day of judgment. And because you followed what God said, you would be found okay. But there was never the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the flesh, except upon prophets and special anointed. And the people had to obey the law literally. Now, in the time of the new covenant today, we have commandments and things that we are to follow. The first one, of course, is to believe upon the Lord. That's what you have to do. Now, we're not saved by keeping the law. We're saved by that faith, justified through Christ's blood. But see, the point here, life for us means, as believers in Christ, we already have life. We have the Spirit of God. We have His Word. We have a relationship. We can enter into the presence of God and make our petitions known to Him. See, they couldn't do all of that like that then. Not like we do. They couldn't enter in like we do. And they didn't have the blood of Christ, and He hadn't come. They had the blood of bulls and goats. They had a high priest. And then they had to have the shedding of the blood of animals every year for the Day of Atonement. Now, Christ is our atonement today. And it's in that relationship that Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We follow what He says. We follow what the apostles have written down in His name. And we're sure to understand that if you do things that are morally against God, which would be called an abomination, you're going to suffer the abomination's penalty, even today. Now, you can repent of that. But see, if you continue to do it and then repent and do it and repent, there comes a time when the question really is, at what point do you really mean that, your repentance? Because you keep going back and doing it. See, it's all wrapped up in the mercy of God. But one day, all will stand before God. Christ will judge all men. So if we're going to be kept alive during an attack, during a famine, during whatever it is, we need to make sure that we fear the Lord, that we're morally reverent to Him, that we have a patient hope that no matter what happens, we have patience and hope that He will deliver us. And this can apply to many areas. You know, it can apply in everyday life, in your sickness, you know, in your friendships, in your finances, in everything you have, in threats, in death, in everything there is, this can apply. Being kept and not forsaken, because nobody wants to be forsaken.